Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. David Brower's role in the modern environmental movement cannot be overstated. As NPR's John Nielsen put it, calling David Brower an important environmental activist is like calling Hamlet an important member of the Danish royal court. Brower led the Sierra Club for 17 years. He founded Friends of the Earth. He founded the Earth Island Institute. He was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize 3 times. He was also co-founder of the Glen Canyon Institute. And this week, the Institute will mark the 100th anniversary of Brower's birth. Today on the program, we're remembering David Brower's commitment to the environment and the legacy of his work. Joining me in studio is Dr. Rich Ingebretson. He is a physician, a wilderness advocate, and a professor of health promotion and education in the School of Medicine at the University of Utah. He's also the founder and president of the Glen Canyon Institute, dedicated to restoring the natural beauty of Glen Canyon and the Colorado River. And Dr. Ingebretson, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Also with us, Barbara Brower. She is a professor of geography at Portland State University. She's on the board of directors at the Glen Canyon Institute. And importantly, she's the daughter of David Brower, and she's joining us by phone from her home in Portland. And Barbara, good morning. Oh, it looks like Barbara is not there. We'll have to restore that connection. But if you'd like to join us, if you have questions or comments about David Brower's imprint on modern environmentalism, you can give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. David Brower, we know a lot about David Brower's public life. Dr. Ingebretson, many people don't know he started out as a very accomplished mountaineer. He had that part of his life that many people don't know about.
That was one of that's right. And that gave him his passion for it. When he took over the Sierra Club, of course, it was a mountaineering club. And that's what he did. But the other part of David Brower's life was as an activist. And he took the Sierra Club, who was a mountaineering club, and converted it into an activist club where they made such many great changes. And that was one of David Brower's legacy, is his vision and his ability to change things and in a huge way.
Looks like we now have Barbara on the line. We'll keep trying. 801-355-TALK is our number. Do you know where David Brower's commitment, his passion for conservation came from, Rich?
You know, I do. It's interesting. And Barbara, when she gets online, will tell us more. She was raised with him. But I had many long talks about David. He just had this real quick story. I once saw him standing. I was waiting to pick him up, and he was swaying back and forth. And he was 80-something years old, and I thought he was unsteady. And I said, "Are you okay, Mr. Brower?" And he said to me, "No, I'm looking at that tree that's swaying back and forth in the wind, wondering what it would be like to be a tree to sway back and forth in the wind." Mm. Now, who says that or who does that? But that was David Brower. So it was something innate in him, that his ability to understand nature. Einstein stood principles of physics. David understood nature, and he understood Western water, and he was able to make huge changes. You know, it's hard to, you know, you said about his being nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. He stopped 2 dams from being created in the Grand Canyon, among other things. He, along with people who did that, he saved the world's dolphins, and the organizations that he solved. One other quick story, I picked him up at the airport once, and I said, we're going to look at restoring Glen Canyon, you know, that, in one sense means taking water out of Glen Canyon, that is Lake Powell. And he looked at me, and, you know, this is such an enormous thing, and he looked at me like it was just on his to-do list. He said, "Oh, yeah, I've been meaning to take care of that," as though it was just something that needed to be done, like, you know, you go to the store and buy groceries. So he had this innate ability. And one last thing before Barbara gets on, he loved people, he loved animals, and he loved plant life. He loved things that were alive. Beautiful man.
How did you cross paths with him?
Well, because of Glen Canyon. When I became involved with the restoration of Glen Canyon, I wanted to get the giants, so I invited David Brower to come speak at the University of Utah, and he said, well, his assistant said he'd like to debate the man who built Glen Canyon Dam, Floyd Dominey. So I invited them both to come, and it was very clear from, I was talking to these giants of men, somewhat you would say lions in the winter, maybe. Mm. But that he was every bit as powerful as you can imagine. If you've ever seen a picture of David Brower, tall, imposing physically, white, flowing hair, and extremely articulate. So he had it all. He had brilliance and vision and love of the earth, and he inspired people. You could say he was an effective environmentalist. He coined the name environmentalist, but more importantly, he inspired people. I think his greatest legacy is inspiring people like me and others to go out and get things done. That was his big thing.
We're talking about David Brower, the environmentalist, the man who coined the phrase environmentalism, with Rich Engebretson. He is a physician, a wilderness advocate, also the president of the Glen Canyon Institute. And joining us now by phone from Portland is David Brower's daughter, Barbara Brower. Are you there?
I am.
Oh, terrific. I'm glad that we finally connected. Thanks so much for your time today. We know a lot about your father's public life, his accomplishments in conservation. Talk a little bit about his private life as a father. Did he take you on excursions into the Sierra Nevada that he loved? And what were his private moments with you like as a daughter?
You know, I was wondering what I was going to be able to speak to after catching a little bit of what Rich Engebretson was saying, because he certainly spoke to the public man. Although Rich, I'm not sure about that environmentalism as Dad's coinage, but whatever his public persona, he was a great dad in being attentive, because he was gone a lot. You don't make the kinds of changes in the world that my father was responsible for if you're home with your kids. So we missed out on some family time, but made up for it, I think, with the trips we made with him as he was campaigning for various battles, I guess. But we went to some amazing places, a lot of time in the Sierra, a lot of time throughout the West, and then particularly memorable for me and important to this conversation, I think we spent a lot of time in Glen Canyon, 5 trips altogether, both before the diversion tunnels closed and as the lake filled. So the experience of the outdoors with a man who, as Rich was saying, was so in love with it was pretty wonderful.
How do you remember him speaking about the earth and nature?
Well, it's a shame that my elder brother Ken isn't here, because he's just finished a book on my dad, and he's been thinking about this harder than I have. Also, my two older brothers had a sort of different experience of my dad. They worked with him on books and are able to channel him a little bit better than my little brother and I can. But he was very powerfully eloquent in his public speaking, usually, although occasionally he'd bomb. And as a daughter, it was always mortifying when in some audience, particularly if I knew anybody in the audience, he wasn't his typically fluent self. Mm. But he was awfully good at bringing people along to see the wonder of the world as he did. I particularly remember a time when I brought him into my class. I teach an environmental issues class, and he would often come to visit me. This was at the University of Texas, my first job, and he had been ill and was sort of gray and looked unwell. This was in his early 80s, and I felt guilty for bringing him to my class, but he came, and my poor class was demoralized, because all I can do when I talk about the environment is get depressed and depress my students. But he started talking to them, and they started paying attention, and he sort of fed off their energy and they off of his. And this man I was afraid I was killing off by taking him up the stairs to my classroom ended up at the end of the class surrounded by students, who then went off with him to close the bars in Austin, and a couple of them didn't come back to class the next day. They went off to join the movement.
So oh.
He really had the power to persuade.
You mentioned he was frail in his later years. He died in 2000. Barbara Brower, what do you think your father would think about the state of the environment today? And I know you've got some gloom and doom on your side, but, would he be founding the Climate Change Institute? I mean, what do you think he'd be doing in our current environmental situation?
That's something that we think about a lot as we organize various celebrations of his memory, because what we're missing here, we can remember the cool things he did, but it's harder to anticipate, to sort of forecast what he might have done now, because his great gift, I think, was vision, was the ability to think ahead and also to strategize on tactics for for making people understand the seriousness of an issue like climate change, and figuring out ways to sort of get the message out there. And also, maybe his best gift was optimism. He never lost the idea that things could get better. He never was overcome with gloom and doom. He spent an awful lot of time finding ways to make the world work. And that gift is what I miss, and that vision, I think, is what I can't even begin to guess at. But I think he would be worried and working hard, but hopeful.
Rich Ingebretson, what would you like people to remember about the David Brower that you knew in 20 seconds?
Inspiration. He inspired. It's hard to describe just how inspirational he was, just and eloquent. And Barbara has a lot of his ability to speak. David had ways with words, and you quoted him forever, and still do. But he inspired. He was just amazing in that. Can we announce the time of the event tomorrow night?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Tomorrow night. No, I'm sorry.
It's Friday night.
What day is it? Friday night at the incredible Utah Museum of Natural History, the new one, east of Research Park, at 7:30 is an event free to the public here in Salt Lake City.
And you'll be honoring David Brower, the Glen Canyon Institute. We'll have links on our website for more information. I'm sorry we have to cut it short. Rich Ingebretson and Barbara Brower, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks.
City Views is a production of KCPW. Thanks to Lauren Hendrickson and Eric Ray. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce.